A thug rig on and force it to reach where the beats at and where the people out they seats at. For what? Cause y'all on it. I'm like Aquaman and Brown Hornet. I'm like Imhotep, but don't flaunt it. Dog reintroducing, master thespian, hotelling this, elegance, emceeing. Getting money for real, get freedom. Black on the grind from AM to the PM. Splash up, bash up the X5 BM. Motive entertainment, the Philly mob win. We caught, so we not
dim. Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast. This is episode 44. I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
I'm Chewing.
And
that, Sean.
And that's Sean. So
we started
welcome.
That off like we're a coffee house.
Yes.
Like a hello and welcome to that.
I feel like I'm hunched over by the microphone. I feel like Larry King.
I see.
Let's talk for the hour.
Comics, what do you think?
That's right. That's all we got. All right.
It's not really Larry King, is it?
That's my best Larry King.
That's pretty good. It's all right.
What's yours?
I understand.
Mr. Judgy, throw out your Larry King.
No, I'm the guy that just sits here and judges and I'm like,
all right.
Kind of sour.
Sour.
I like to give you sass.
Yeah. That's not new.
That's why his nickname's SP, old sassy puss.
Exactly. All right, let's get...
You might be fired.
Let's just jump into the news. So we have a couple of things to talk about. First, they announced that Tom King, along with Mitch Gerards, the artist on Sheriff of Babylon with him, they're going to be taking on a new book from DC.
Is that guy that you guys like? Tom King guy that you guys always talk about? All the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this already.
No, you're not.
Move on.
Not even a little bit.
He's going to be doing the Mr. Miracle ongoing book.
Mr. Miracle's
awesome.
How is this news?
Even you got to
admit. Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle. Come on.
How cool. You just wanted to talk about Tom King again. That's why you brought it up.
I mean, it's not our fault that he keeps doing stuff we really like.
Exactly.
He's no Jeff Lemire.
I think he's getting there.
No. He's expanded his
You
horizons.
Gotta start. Nah, he can be the Jeff Lemire of only superheroes.
So anyway, the news.
Yeah, so Mr. Miracle, super excited about that. Mm-hmm. That's gonna harken back to some of the stuff in the New Gods and things like that. So very excited about that book. Scott Snyder this past week officially announced that after his run with Raphael Albuquerque on All-Star Batman, uh-huh. that he was going to retire from monthly Batman comic books for the foreseeable future.
Right.
He's still going to be writing the miniseries Dark Knight's Metal that comes out later on this year, uh-huh. which is going to be a DC Universe crossover with Batman as one of the main characters, but a pure Batman book he's going to be retired from for the foreseeable future.
But not for comics.
No.
He's still writing other comics.
Yeah, I think he's
just
gonna,
done with
he
Batman.
Wants to do some other
right.
stuff. DC's he's going to be writing the New Challengers book that comes out of the Dark Knight Metal.
Because
didn't you
say he was locked down to DC and has an exclusive contract
yeah,
and
for
all that
5 years.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so they've already announced that he's going to be doing with Andy Kubert the New Challengers book, the Dark Matter books, which are going to be four books that are spinning out of the Dark Knight's Metal universe that they're going to discover. It's going to be, you got Scott Snyder, Jim Lee, John Romita Jr., Andy Kubert.
Yeah.
So some really cool people there. So he's going to continue to write comics, just not Batman.
Which is fine. I think he's solidified a good, you know, Batman medium. Like, he's got a good library of that. So
I want to know when he's going to go down the Alan Moore route. And become, like, totally jaded.
Just hate everything
just
he's done.
And not want to do anything
right.
to do with anything that he's ever done.
Right.
And then comes out and says, I'm sorry I ever did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a Zach beard and lives up in the mountains doing crazy weird shit.
I do have, like, an Alan Moore beard, huh?
You do.
You're working
good.
On it. You're working
that's
on
pretty
it.
Pretty good. You know, that's pretty good.
So, anyway, the news. What other news? Hey, stop drinking that Snapple.
So,
let's get back to the news, fool.
Well, I didn't know when you guys were going to be done. So I could talk about the news.
Just keeping you on your toes.
And Marvel right. News, they have announced that a lot of their books later on this year are going to go back to original numbering, that the classic heroes are going to be returning, and that the rumor is that a staple of the Marvel Universe is going to be coming back, into the forefront. So the main rumor is that they're going to bring back the Fantastic Four.
You know, I really like the direction that DC is taking. I mean, Marvel is taking with this. I think it's going to work out well.
Was that a knock?
What? No.
That was a softball swipe.
No.
You just kind of lobbed that.
Hey,
right there.
Hey, I am a
We've talked about this a lot, though. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
I'm absolutely okay with Marvel going the same direction as DC, where they kind of hone in on what works in comic books, and using that as the base to jump off into newer and better ideas, versus completely throwing away what their base is and just kind of swinging in the dark.
Yes. And if the rumor is true that they're bringing back the Fantastic Four, then I will be super happy, because I can be one of the 9,000 people in the world who buy a Fantastic Four comic every month.
Right.
So
until it gets canceled 5 issues.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I love the Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four is one of those brands of comics that I absolutely love, but I don't ever get to talk about it because there's pretty much no Fantastic Four fans around anymore. So I'm excited to hear if they'll bring them back. Mm-hmm. And then something that we're going to start doing, I think, every week, just because we're getting a lot of cross promotion now between our Facebook stuff and in store. Oh, you guys have a podcast? Oh, you guys do a podcast and a stream sale? So we're going to start doing this more often. Basically, we do a stream sale every Friday night from 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time to 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You just go onto our Facebook. It's as simple as putting in the comments that you'd like to buy something at the price that we put it at. We've had a lot of success these last couple weeks. We started, going to be our sixth one? I think it's our sixth one.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
I do it by dates.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're on five.
Yeah. Okay, five. All right. So it's going to be our fifth one.
You're counting the practice one we did.
That's true, yeah. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I've actually pretended like I've watched all of them.
Yeah.
You've actually mocked us openly on the comment section.
It only took a second, and then I just didn't pay attention to you anymore.
So,
I don't need to buy any of this stuff. I already own it all.
That's true.
So if you would like to buy comics and listen to Richie and I just talk geekery for 2 hours every Friday night,
mm-hmm.
you can live. Do it live. So it's totally live. Mishaps, fun, goofiness all happen.
That's
you can
correct.
Buy stuff from the comfort of your own home, mm-hmm. your own phone, anything like that. And on Facebook page from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time every Friday.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely an adventure every Friday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Exactly. Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Standard Time! And then another thing that we started doing, we've been doing this for a couple months now, we have the I Want More Comics Book Club.
Mm-hmm.
This month the choice is Meta Barons by Jodorowsky. This is going to be space opera, crazy science fiction kind of stuff. French comic books, so the artwork's pretty crazy, detailed.
Yeah.
And we're going to be meeting on May 25th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Here in the store. So if you're local, you don't have to buy the book. We do have copies available. 25% for walk-ins, 30% off for hold slot members. If you already own it, cool, you can come join the conversation. If you already read it, you can come join. If you don't want to read it,
you can just come and say why you like it or scream why you don't like it or why you think. I actually had a couple customers come in this last weekend and tell me why they did not like Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
Themselves. They did not like him at all.
I was there for that.
And I was like, interesting. Well, you should come to the book club and say that. And they're like, no, I'm not coming to this. I'm like, what? No, you got to come voice your opinion. Be heard by the man.
You'll have to tell me this after we're done recording.
This is potentially could be one of the most interesting conversations we have with the book club,
I think. This will be extremely polarizing.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how much middle ground you're going to get on this
book. Probably not. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Which is great. That's exactly what we want.
Well, that's what you want. You want people with different views to explain their viewpoint.
Yeah.
Have a civil discussion and don't say, well, it sucked. Give reasons why you did not like
the book. Break down why you actually think the things you
think. Richie and I are pretty good at being diplomatic and going,
yeah.
Okay. I want to hear why.
Well, you think...
you want to hear why that you want to hear why you did not find this appealing. And if you didn't, okay, cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But we like to hear that kind of stuff instead of just,
it's not just Facebook where it's like, this is good. This is bad.
Fun. Yeah, you don't want to be, what is it, the representation of Al Roker on Family Guy.
Exactly.
It's hot. Yeah,
it's called a fish.
Yeah, yep. You don't want that.
I think it's next week. It might be next week or the week after. I'll also talk about our new book club pick, which Sean helped pick out this month.
Yes.
So we're doing it all the time. Definitely check us out. We have stuff up on our Facebook. We have it in store. Come talk to any of us, and we'll give you the lowdown on the book club.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's it for the news. Let us get into our picks of the week from last week. Richie, what do you got?
My pick of the week is going to be The Fix.
Okay.
Number 9,
yep.
It felt like it took forever, but I finally got number 9 out, and I just can't say enough. Steve Lieber's artwork is just killing it, and I think it's one of the best buddy cop, but not really cop, adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they layer the story on who the breakdown of the mob boss and the two rooks are, it's just brilliant to me. I don't want to give too much away, but the dog is probably the best part of the entire run, and I can't wait to see where it goes further than that.
I do like that run a lot.
I really do.
This is really good.
Very nice. Yeah, I need to read it. I have not read it.
It's so much fun.
It's just excellent. Yeah.
They're pretty corrupt and jacked up. And
yeah, I heard somebody. I heard Richie.
The single issue was it the single issue where they did the he was the bodyguard for like the
yes
female pop star right. Representation was awesome.
It's so good.
So yeah, if you haven't picked that up, you should definitely give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is there one or two trades out right now?
There's one trade.
One trade. Yeah, they're not done with the second. Okay. The stuff for the second trade.
Yeah, but they will be pretty soon.
I was gonna say 10 should come out soon, and then they can pop up the next trade. So.
Cool. Awesome. All righty. Sounds good, Richie. Sean. How about you?
I don't have a pick of the week this week.
Okay.
I bailed.
Yeah, we looked.
I bailed. I kind of looked. I could have considered a pick of the week for me would have been AD After Death by Lemire, yeah. But I did not read it.
Gotcha.
So I'm not going to come out and say, this just made the entire story worth living. I'm not going to do that if I haven't read it, because I don't want to be that guy.
The way we're doing this podcast, we could do that with AD.
Well, no, I could softball it out there and say AD is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome,
and you should all read it. But I don't have any ground to stand on.
I'm just saying that it should be one of our podcasts, is the full breakdown of AD.
All of AD?
Yeah,
it is a dense book for only three books.
I feel like we could have a pretty good conversation about it.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, well, then I'll get into my pick, and my pick of the week isn't... It wasn't a single issue.
What?
My pick of the week was a trade paperback that
came out
last week. My pick from last week was Batman Arkham, the Mr. Freeze trade paperback. Mr. Freeze, yeah.
I kind of had a thought when you said it was a trade.
Yeah.
Because I know you're Mr. Freeze love.
I am Mr. I was going to say that, yeah. I bought one of these. I personally took one home, and it's great because there's 11 different stories that Mr. Freeze stars in, and they're all across, you know, the different times. There's his first appearance. There's my favorite Freeze story that I've seen. I have the single issue. I've had the single issue since I was a kid, but it's also in the trade. It's Batman 525.
Mm.
Kelly Jones artwork. Doug Munch. Mm-hmm. His right. It's an awesome story where you meet Mr. Freeze, and he's talking to the upper elite in Gotham about them getting frozen, so that cryogenically frozen, so that whatever ails them, they could
he can fix them.
They could fix them in the future.
They can get better.
Exactly, and mm-hmm. So he was having them pay him, and then he would freeze them and kill them and then steal all the rest of their money.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dark,
yeah.
And I love it because it's one of those things where a lot of people have the mentality that Mr. Freeze is, he's a goofy villain or, anything like that. But I saw the Paul Dini stuff before I ever saw Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
And so for me, I'm...
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's representation of...
No, but that's where...
You should just pretend that was...
No, I agree, but that's what about 90% of the...
A lot of people do think that he's full of puns and things like that, and that's just the opposite of what he actually is.
That's awful. Exactly. That was awful.
Yeah, so
I mean, And we've had this conversation many times, other than the classic cliche, the Joker.
Well, him and my Gotham Central was like some of my favorite stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. He's great in that. But my two favorite Batman villains are Two-Face and Mr. Freeze. I also have the Two-Face issue trade paperback that they did. And these are just great little collections. If you want,
he doesn't have a wooden heart like Elvis Presley sang about. He has a frozen heart.
The frozen heart. So, there's the Scott Snyder annual from a couple of years ago that Jason Fabric did the art on, which really was great.
That was super twisted.
Yes, exactly. So I think this is a great trade paperback for if you want to read some awesome stories tied in with one of Batman's villains. These are great. They've done one for Poison Ivy, the Riddler, Scarecrow, Two-Face, Mr. Freeze now that just came out. So these are really cool, and I highly recommend getting this this trade paperback. So,
well, really ice pick.
Really ice pick. Really? Did you just say that? Really?
What?
That's horrible.
It was a nice pick.
You're fired again. This is the second time. Let's see how many times we can get you fired.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's.
Nice pick, you know, Zach.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah,
I too. Like I said, I love Mr. Freeze, and he doesn't get a lot of love because every time I say, well, other than of course, I mean, everyone likes the Joker.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is that if who else is up there for me? Two-Face and Mr. Freeze are my personal
trade. Full of chilling stories.
People always go, oh, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, you like that? I'm like, no.
Yes, I love it.
No.
You should just own it and be like, it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Exactly. So, all right, let's jump into our awesome discussion tonight for Spinning the Racks.
Spinning the Racks. Da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. Da-da-da. Spinning the racks.
So this week we're
going to surprise you guys and not talk about something DC related.
No,
that's the opposite.
No,
oh, God.
We promised 4 weeks ago that we would discuss the Button story arc in.
Wait a minute, was I here when we promised?
Yes,
this?
You sure were. Yes,
yes, you were.
Was I paying attention?
Probably not.
No.
So tonight we're going to be talking about Batman 21 and 22, Flash 21 and Flash 22, which was the 4-part story arc of the Button.
I don't see the relevance of how they're connected.
Yeah. And so we've read them, and we want to talk about them now. They're all out. How do we feel about it? The things that we saw, maybe some of our speculations. I have a whole thing of notes here. Mm-hmm. So
this is where I tell you that if you haven't read them,
yes.
Turn off the podcast.
No, keep listening. Get spoiled. It's fine.
Read
or
them.
Or if you don't care.
Form your own opinion.
Get wrecked,
and
nerd.
Then listen to us gab about it.
Or if you don't care, too.
Because we are going to spoil the crap out of things. We're going to dive deep into the actual storyline, what it may mean, the potentials of it, and where it's going in the future.
Absolutely.
So, if you don't want to know any of that, not the greatest podcast to listen to right now.
Exactly. So, as Kevin Smith does, I'm going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be gone. All right. So
Batman and Flash both die.
That's right.
No, I'm joking.
No, we're just joking.
That's the way I read it.
So for the people who don't know, if you read DC Rebirth, the one shot that came out last year, the big teaser in that was something has to do with the Watchmen.
Right.
And how it made the new 52 universe and how there's been remnants of it spread across the DC universe. Mm-hmm. The smiley face badge was found in Batman's cave. Mm-hmm. A new character showed up in the Superman books and the Superman place. Is it Oz? Mm-hmm. Which people think is Ozymandias. But that hasn't been confirmed yet. But so they said that, oh, we're going to be telling the story over the next couple years. And it's been about a year.
Yep.
And they said that this is the next chapter of that storyline. This is right. Batman and Flash teaming up to find some more out about the Button.
So one of the bigger things that I wanted to mention in the before we break into this is from Rebirth, the essential recreation of Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Wally West coming in from Barry Allen, touching him.
Yep.
That, him kind of recognizing who he was, grasping him, and then turning him, you know, into a functioning construct and kind of bringing back these memories of how he's known him forever and really unlocking the concept of something's been missing and who took that from us.
Yes.
So that's where they leave it. And then almost a year later, we're sitting with Batman 21.
Yes. And I mean, this was an written by Tom King, art by Jason Fabick.
There's that guy's name again.
Yeah,
right.
Just great stuff. I guess I could just go into some of the things I noticed. One of the things I noticed about this issue right off the bat when I saw it was that there's the 9-panel grid.
Yep.
Which is what was made famous by Watchmen.
Yep.
A lot of Watchmen is in the 9-panel grid, and they did that again here.
Right.
Which, again, harkens back to what kind of a storyline they're going to be doing. In the very beginning, we meet Saturn Girl. And check this out. I saw this on my reread. The very first page, right?
Yep.
No, before that one, actually. Right there. I think that's the Legion symbol.
Okay.
With the etchings.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the look right there.
Interesting.
And they have an L.
Yeah.
In there.
Okay.
So I think that that might be a little bit of a kind of a tease to the Legion.
Right.
Let's see. Also in here, you know, we meet Reverse Flash, and we kind of get him involved with, because he's been dead since Flashpoint.
Correct.
And he shows up, and how's that possible?
Exactly. I mean, it all kicks off with the button reacting to Psycho Pirate's
mask. Which has been going on in Batman's arc for the past year.
Since the beginning, almost.
Yeah.
Then Bruce sees his father, who's supposed to be dead, and then all of a sudden Zoom punches him in the face, and then they have a minute.
A minute. This was a great panel.
Which was amazing.
Yes.
I would actually say for me, out of all these, I liked this one by far the best.
This setup
story was awesome.
Yeah, and the one of my favorite parts about this minute fight that they have is that they did a spoiler like thing to show everyone on Twitter. Tom King put out like, hey, sneak peek of what's happening, and they showed the full minute. It's 10 panels of the minute, but the fight actually takes over like 15 pages.
Yeah,
but they all they did was show you the actual seconds. They showed you 8 seconds or 10 seconds of the actual fight, when really in that 10 seconds Batman and Zoom have a full-blown comic book fight.
Yes.
Which is just great. Brilliant.
Yes, it is. And, again, showing how smart Batman can be.
Correct.
And basically, this ends up with Flash coming in and seeing that Reverse Flash has died because he saw God.
Correct. The very end of this panel is a very interesting scared Zoom, which doesn't happen much.
Who's being burned alive.
Just gets completely fried.
Yes.
And that's where they left you.
And that's where they left. Yep. And then in Flash 21, we open up with a Mr. Thunder who is screaming about them taking away the Justice Society.
Right.
And that he wants to get the Justice Society back. And again, when we get to speculation, I have some cool stuff to talk about. And in here, it's going to be the process of the Flash talking with Batman and, you know, getting with him and saying, hey, how did Reverse Flash get back? And we need to go through the time stream and figure out kind of what happened.
Uh-huh.
And throughout that, they wind up back at the Flashpoint Batman's cave with Thomas Wayne.
More importantly in this aspect is that they have to use the cosmic treadmill.
Yeah.
And the way that Batman goes with Flash into the Speed Force is through a grappling hook on the cosmic speed.
Exactly.
Cosmic treadmill.
He's used to it. He's done it for years.
And it's my favorite. My favorite is just him holding on to the cosmic treadmill like a little bat kite. Great.
Yeah, awesome.
So it stumbles, and all of a sudden they find themselves in Flashpoint.
Yep.
Which should be gone. Shouldn't exist.
Yep, and they meet Thomas Wayne, Bruce and Thomas meeting together.
So what about this issue?
What did you think of the voice behind Thomas Wayne? How he's different from Batman, but he's like, he uses guns and
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Like, what do you think about like his voice in the comic book?
To me, I like it. I enjoy the idea of a child looks at a gun and is scared of it and says, "No, no more. Never touch one." And the father, whose son dies, flips that and says, "Oh, I'm going to make everybody pay." Nobody gets out alive with this one, you know? And that unique twist on it was engaging enough that I think it creates a following for that character. A lot of people I know are really interested in the Flashpoint story when you tell them about the Martha and Thomas twist.
Yeah.
They really want to read that. And his voice to me has always, it felt like the same exact, like, solemn vow of vengeance, where one went, "I'm going to take everyone down," and the other went, "I'm going to protect everybody so it doesn't happen again."
Well, he's like a sad doctor who
right.
went on a rampage, but I don't know, I think it's, his voice is definitely unique and different as far as Batman, the Batman oh, yeah. mythos goes.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. And then we jump into Batman 22.
Speaking which, of that voice.
Yep. So which,
did you get that voice throughout the whole entire comic?
Yeah. And Barry and Bruce are talking to Thomas. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to kind of have a discussion about what's going on and why are you here. And that's
why is Flashpoint still a thing?
Right. It yep. shouldn't be here.
Yep. And then. Yeah, and then kind of harking back to some of the stuff they did there with Aquaman and Wonder Woman coming to attack the Batcave. Jason Fabik artwork,
which I was going
to
say, we fantastic. Should mention the Fabik artwork in this is just
amazing, yeah. And stunning. So one of my favorite things actually, of this whole...
Basing that one was a little bit weird.
A little whacked.
Because it's the, "Hey, we're here. Why are we here? Why is this fight. Place still here? Let's fight!" Right. Okay, and then you're yeah. a little bit of an explanation.
Yeah. A lot of this feels of the pacing is very sped up and
on
not
one.
Not with a pun in mind.
No.
I think it's more so in this particular issue than all the other ones.
Yeah, because the pacing in the like first one
I thought the pacing in the first one was perfect.
First two, even.
Yeah, well, like the Flash 21, the pacing was, it seemed a little bit more drawn out, strangely, for a
right,
Flash
like
book.
Slower, right.
But this Batman one, it seems like it was just really fast
yeah.
to me.
They don't get a whole ton of time to even...
They don't. To
it feels, like it feels rushed.
Yeah.
So, I'm asking weird questions, I know.
No, that's... I agree with that.
I keep throwing Zach off.
yeah. Well, I mean, they... that's kind of the... Well, for me, that's one of the things I got from it was there that universe starts breaking down and they have to leave sooner than later. And one of my favorite things is this entire series happens in this issue. Mm-hmm. And that's when Thomas Wayne talks to Bruce mm-hmm. and says, "Hey, if you're doing the Batman thing for us... Don't do it for us.
Yeah,
we don't do it for your mom. Don't do it for me. Go be happy and no, don't
tells
be
him
Batman.
Not, let Batman die with me.
Yeah, correct. Yep. Yeah, which
go,
I thought.
Go find your son.
Which I thought is one of these. Yeah.
If you have a son, go be a dad. Don't be Batman.
Don't be Batman. And it was one of those things where it's like I have never seen that before in a
no,
Batman comic book.
For that goes against almost everything.
I know those T-shirts that say if you can be Batman, be Batman. Right. Goes yeah. totally against
yeah,
that.
Well,
goes
totally against for me. That. It's just the entire time you've kind of grown up with Batman saying, "I'm doing this for my parents."
Yes.
And then here we have his dad going, "No, like, don't do it for us, you weirdo."
He's like, "Why are you doing that?"
Yeah.
Like, where did our dying wish say, "Avenge us"? Right. They never said yeah. that.
Dying parents happen.
Exactly.
I had a dying kid. What yeah. are you doing?
Exactly.
You
know? Yes. So I really like that. They hop back on that cosmic treadmill, and they run
he
into.
He actually has to rebuild.
They have to rebuild it. Yes, which
it exploded.
That yep. epic "We Rise" and him challenging
the nothingness of the universe, which
so
is very
good.
Christ and Infinite Earths right there yeah. with the white.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jump back on the cosmic treadmill, and they see
Batman becomes Bat-kite.
Bat-kite, and. And they run into Reverse Flash.
Again.
And he is going, "Oh, yeah, I just stole this button, and I'm going to go find out who, you know, is responsible."
Yep.
So you find out that they are seeing Reverse Flash in the past, mm-hmm. but their future, that good old Flash time line stuff that they like to do.
Timey-wimey.
And then here, and then the last one, which is Flash number 22, great cover. The best, one of the best covers of the whole thing.
For sure.
Well, the cover on this one, the throwback to old EC comics and stuff like that, and it's amazing.
Yeah. And in there, you know, we see Batman and Flash talking to Reverse Flash. Don't do it. We know you die.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm the Reverse Flash. And he goes to...
What I just don't understand is this immediate change.
Which the...
When he's talking like, show yourself, my God. Wait, I didn't know. Like,
he's fluid throughout the entire time stream and everything, so it's entirely possible he actually knows who his character is.
So when he sees him, he shows up. I get that.
But he could have known who he was.
He could have known
from before. Didn't realize that's who he was running into.
Right.
And then he's like, oh God.
Right.
This was a mistake because he knows who he is.
Yeah.
He's the one person in the DC universe that can traverse time by himself all the time. And be everywhere and nowhere.
So he, again, we see there's a lot of Reverse Flash exploding in this,
correct.
In this Ford issues.
He is like a confetti popper.
Yes, he is. There's a lot of that. We see him get blown away again.
And again, the cosmic treadmill falls apart in this time stream.
Yep. And we see... Well, there's also great stuff in here with Batman and Flash seeing the different times and like the different things that have happened. The different where they said, oh, it's not different universes, but it is, but it's not.
But it's not. Right.
Yeah. And then so they discover a voice in this in the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, who is this? What is this? They kind of go towards it, and it's revealed that it is Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
From.
Did you think this was awesome?
I did. I think this was.
I thought it was totally corny. We're not all going to agree on all.
Right.
All
I understand, just but saying. It's just like.
No, he pops up and I'm like,
awesome.
You're doing the same thing that you did in DC Rebirth, only just rehashing it with a new character.
Well
awesome,
no, but that's that's the point, is because he's part of the Speed Force, and they in Rebirth.
I realize I'm not much of a Flash fan, so for me this is not awesome.
I would disagree. I'm not that big into Flash, but I would disagree with Sean here. I think that
this is
this is, to me, it's great. I don't know if it's as shocking.
I don't think it's shocking,
I just think
it's a repeat on a theme.
Right.
Well, it is.
Fan of. If they would have done it in a little different way, because the way this ends up, this part of the story ends up with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, so I didn't see that coming. Right. I thought it was fabulous the way they did it in DC Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Was heart-wrenching.
Less awesome to me.
Yeah, correct.
Well, because they're revisiting a similar theme that they've already done. Do something new to me.
No, well,
yeah, and I agree. The thing I like about
Zach's
this is that
Zach's got to defend it or he's going to explode.
I know.
Well, yeah, because that's the whole point.
The thing about it for me is that obviously they're linking this to the Speedsters.
Yes.
And the Speedsters.
Well, you know that I'm not a super deep DC fanboy like you two are.
Right. Well, I'm not.
Especially Zach. Yeah. Zach is like steeped deep into this stuff, and I am not.
I don't go deep.
So for me, being the guy who's casually reading this,
no, I get it. I'm just saying
this is why it feels a little ham-fisted to me.
And like I said, for me, that like Richie was saying, they're harkening back to how do Speedsters come back since Rebirth?
Wasn't it Chris?
Yeah.
He's a Super Flash fan?
Correct. And I know that...
Here's what he's going to think of this.
Well, I know this thing. The more that you get into Flash, at least from Chris's perspective, who's a friend of mine, he loves Jay Garrick.
Like, I love Jay Garrick, too. Like, I love the JSA.
Yeah,
I'm a huge JSA fan.
And I think that clicks, of course, into the Geoff Johns run.
Yeah.
And I just know that when it comes to Jay Garrick, there's this weird... love for him, and I don't have that love, so this doesn't blow me away.
I do. He's,
boy howdy, like Chris's eyes were super big when he saw the cover. He was like, come on, man. And I was like, right,
when you have that connection to the JSA and you have that connection to like Jay Garrick, Alan Scott,
especially when you look, and that's fair, when you look at the new 52 interpretation of Jay Garrick,
That one's different.
Right.
But like you said, the Geoff Johns stuff, the stuff he did in JSA, Justice Society, the way they built it up, even like when they did Smallville back in the day, and they showed up, it was, here's Jay Garrick, and, you know, it's a big, well, but big then, thing.
Like I said, I'm not a Flash fan.
No, I get that.
There's not a lot of Flash stories I've read that I've actually even liked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I get why they're trying to tie in the Speed Force and trying to tie in the Speedsters. I do get all that stuff. Yeah. I just thought that particular moment in the story was very... It's perfect for fans that like you guys.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, and so that's what I was going to say.
For a casual reader like me,
Well, that's what I was going to say is that, so they're trying to bring back the Justice Society.
Right.
And, you know, when you see that it's going to be Jay Garrick coming back, I thought, I was not expecting him to not stay. I thought he was going
to
be hanging around.
Yeah, I wanted to get to
his Wildcat start.
Well, and that's one of the things that I really liked was that in Rebirth, the reason why Wally was able to stick around, the reason why Barry was able to stick around is because they had a lightning rod.
Right, which is why I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast is right here, Jay pulls them out of the time stream again.
Yes.
And they pop back in where they were at the beginning.
Yes.
With a dead Zoom on the floor. And we approach the same scene almost exactly of Jay pleading to Barry, remember me.
Yes.
I need you to know who I am. And Barry just staring at him like,
I don't know.
I don't know who you are at all.
Yep. And then he gets sucked back in.
Well, no, he doesn't say, I don't know who you are at all. He said, I kind of remember you, but I don't.
Right.
And you're sorry, that's not enough to stick you around.
Exactly.
He's like, what is your name? And then he tries to touch him just like he did Barry, because or Wally, because that's what he did, and it was fine. He touches Jay, and Jay goes up like a firework.
Yep. He's got an anchor.
Yep, and he doesn't have one. So for me, that's a hearkening to future stuff in the, you know, in the DC universe, where we're going to find out who his anchor is.
Right, which I like that concept. And this is what I feel like this story in general, which we'll get to in a minute, is trying to tell us here. So after Jay kind of disappears, they have a moment and they kind of go to the graveyard and talk about being orphans.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
orphans.
Being in the dead parent club.
Well, and this is the next
dead parent club.
And it's the yep.
And now Batman kind of has this ability to kind of be with Flash in this kind of weird group that's met their dead parents in a different time period and really really get to pull at the heartstrings. Mm. That pulls out into a prologue with one more segment of Bruce.
Yeah, I love this.
Seeing the bat symbol, Alfred approaching him like, "Hey, Bruce, you wanna suit up?" And he hangs his head low, and he's kind of remembering what his dad told him, like, "Don't be Batman, be happy."
Yep.
So now he's in this huge dilemma.
Yeah.
Bobby McFerrin said that too.
There you go. Don't worry, be happy now.
Don't be Batman, be happy.
I don't know if that's how the words were, but
and then the epilogue, the true big epilogue thing that we got.
Then all of a sudden we go back to Button. We see a pretty blue hand pick up his button.
And there's some things from the Watchmen. And then there's another 9-panel grid, and it is the button floating in space, and it transitions from the blood on the button to the Superman symbol.
Flipping into a big old doomsday clock by Geoff Johns, Gary Frank, Brad Anderson
for November. Yep, which is going to be a 4-issue series that they're going to be doing there.
So, let's discuss after Rebirth. We've gotten the button. What do you think of the story as a whole?
We just discussed.
We just went through the beats, but so here's the thing. I really enjoyed it because I knew from the get-go when they said this is another chapter.
Right.
It's not the ending part. It's not tying it all in. I've heard, you know, because this just came out, the last part of this.
Yeah.
You guys will probably be hearing this a week after this has come out. But some people have been really disappointed with this story.
There has been a little backlash about how it doesn't really conclude anything at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't. It brings up some new questions.
Even being a casual reader, I knew that it wasn't going to.
Correct.
Yeah, and when they said that it was going to be the next chapter, you know, I went, okay, I just wanted a really cool story with Batman and Flash. I think we got that.
Absolutely.
I think we got into some interesting questions.
Yep.
Like I said, I'm going to get into some of my speculation here in a second, but and I think that they're promoting the Doomsday Clock, which is going to be in later in November. Mm-hmm. And I think that that story with that creative team and stuff like that, you're going to get more answers. Mm-hmm. But this is just a this is a stepping stone. Rebirth was the first step. Button is the next. Doomsday Clock is the next. It's not a here's a book, go read it and be done. Mm-hmm. It's just here is a little bit. And so I didn't mind it. Again, I love the hearkening back to the stuff that, as you know, as we talked about a minute ago, Flash fans or Batman fans, JSA fans, you know, there's a lot in there for fans to pick up and look at.
Right.
So
for me, the button explains more of the concept. A part of what you didn't like is actually why I like the story in general, is that they're showing us a pattern. And that pattern can be locked into confidence to know that the story has consistency. Because one of the things that I worry about with an overarching story is that they can kind of throw anything they want at you and not have to worry about consequence because it's been so long. And I like them anchoring themselves with the mystery of the JSA, with the mystery of where the speedsters are coming from and the anchors to which pull them out of memory. So I enjoyed that. I think that they explain enough of the new universe that it was fine, and I'm ready to move on into Batman to see how this reacts to him. Mm-hmm. And what he's going to do about it. And excited to wait for November.
Excellent.
Sean?
Yeah, Sean.
Are you scared?
No.
I just...
No, not...
You guys both looked at me like, weird.
No, we're just waiting to hear. Because I want to get into my speculation, so...
Honestly, for me, I could have read the first Batman issue and actually been fine there.
Yeah.
And had it not continue through the next three issues, as weird as that's going to sound. Because I actually feel like I got the whole... what they were trying to do in that first issue.
I think that's fair, because...
I personally feel that way.
I would say...
I did not need the extra Batman Flashpoint stuff. And I did not need the... I get what they're doing. I know why they're introducing the JSA and all that. But I would have been fine with just being Batman 21.
I will say that Batman 21, out of the four of them...
Is it a weird...
No.
It's not weird. I mean, I'll get into it in my...
Batman 21 for me was almost... as kind of shifting for me when I was reading it as Rebirth was. None of the other ones hit me like that. I disagree with the fact that I think everyone needs to see Batkite in the time stream.
I don't
at all times, at all, but
even a little bit.
But 21.
I mean, they're using this as they're opening up more of their universe, and they're opening up more of what they want to do as a company. Yeah. And exactly. And they're using Dr. Manhattan and Watchmen and the mystery of the button to do that. And that's fine. Yes. That's a completely fine way to tell your story. For me, being a casual DC fan, it didn't hit me like it hit you guys, obviously.
Well, and even as someone that is, you know, dedicated to DC.
But I am happy they came out with this cover for 22 because that's a great cover. Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great cover.
I agree. What I find interesting is it has Red Robin on it.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Well,
Red Robin. Yum.
No.
That's funny.
All right, Zach, get into your speculation.
So, speculation here. All right, so...
Speculating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we got a lot here. Because Geoff Johns talked about...
So, you're talking about what you think's going to happen in the future.
Well, I think that some of what I think's going on a little bit. Here's just, like I said, here's some of my speculation. Geoff Johns was talking about the Doomsday Clock, and he said this before when he was doing Rebirth and the Button, that... the person who's responsible, who we don't know for sure, is Dr. Manhattan, but a blue guy with a blue hand, using his letterbox from Watchmen, I think it's going to be Dr. Manhattan. He says a being is trying to get rid of hope in the DC universe.
Right.
When he did the New 52, he's the catalyst for making the universe. He took away a lot of that hope and optimism into the future.
Correct.
And his war is against hope. So when they announced that they're doing the Doomsday Clock and there's many different characters, but he said the main character is going to be Superman, right. The embodiment of hope.
Right.
One of the biggest things that's happened since Rebirth is, and what they talk about here in The Button, is the Legion of Superheroes and the Justice Society of America. And for me, those two teams are the representation of the hope in the past with the JSA, and the Legion is the hope of the future.
Okay.
And that's why Dr. Manhattan has been, that's why he's been, you know, keeping them apart.
Right.
He's been keeping the Legion separated. You know, Sarah Girl is alone. She doesn't know what's going on. Jay Garrick and Mr. Thunder, they're trying to find the Justice Society because they've been ripped across the time stream because Dr. Manhattan doesn't want that foundation. So JSA's the past. Superman's always present because he's been since the 30s. And then Legion has always been the future. And so he's trying to get rid of all hope in the DC universe. And that's kind of why I think the Legion have been missing, the JSA have been missing, and I think that Superman's going to be the main person to fight Dr. Manhattan and the Doomsday Clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was reading this, that's what I got from it, is the JSA, like you guys were talking about earlier, that feeling that JSA fans get. And even in some of the great runs before of Jeff Johns' Super JSA run, you know, the JSA would show up and Superman would go, there have been comic books, I'm trying to remember what issues, but Superman would go, it's going to be okay, the JSA are here. They even comforted Superman at different times.
Right.
And the Legion has done the same thing for Superman and other people too. You know, Superboy, Supergirl, they've always gone, I'm scared, I don't know what's going on, and the Legion show up and they said, oh, I'm not alone anymore. So they've always been a hopeful, optimistic team, both of them.
Right.
And if you're telling me that the war is against hope and optimism, that makes sense why those two teams are gone.
Right. And so Batman kind of alludes to that fact with the concept of how he doesn't feel that anything happened in the next, these four issues were random.
Yes.
He thinks him getting shown his father and his father being taken away again, and Flash seeing a friend to be dissipated again, is more of that trick plays by Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that the whole Flashpoint thing was to try and scare Batman and show how powerful he is.
Right.
I kept this universe alive because I wanted to, but I can destroy it at any time because I'm me. So that's kind of really what I got out of this for me was that sense of, because that's been since day one, where the Legion, where's the JSA? Mm-hmm. If you're bringing back the cooler, funner, optimistic, hopeful aspects of the DC universe, you brought back Wally, you know, Superman's back to his old self,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that we loved as fans, where are these two quote-unquote staples of the universe? Well, and Jeff Johns loves to do that, where he takes people's real life worries, concerns, influences, and puts them into the story. Why did you guys keep them away? Who would take them? Why won't you guys make a book? Well, Dr. Manhattan doesn't want there to be a book.
Right.
He doesn't want people to read the JSA. And that's what the story's going to be. That's going to be, that's kind of my theory.
Okay.
On that
stuff. I like it.
So
I agree with most of everything you said. I think that's,
like I said, that when I sat down and reread these for the show, that really stood out to me.
Okay.
And also taking a little bit of what Jeff Johns said.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, yeah, this is definitely a DC thing. It's a, you know, I could see with what Sean was saying with, if you were just a Batman guy and all you care about is Batman, nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of DC Universe stuff in here.
Right.
Flash, the Justice League, the Justice Society.
Yeah.
I mean, all across the board.
Yeah.
So, and I like that, because I enjoy the entire universe, too. Not just Flash, not just Batman.
Well, and so, for me, and I wanted to ask Sean about this, when it comes to this, this type of storytelling, where it's an overarching aspect, but not done all at once, have you seen anything like this before, where it's
takes place in different times?
Well, not
what I mean in different times is like Rebirth, like release, the, the one shot came out a year ago.
Being an overall 2 year story or something like that. Yeah.
I guess if you want to count the 14 years it took for Planetary to come out for 25 issues.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure. I don't think that was supposed to happen that way.
I don't know if
it
should probably.
But yeah, that was very hard to read for that reason because I would forget shit.
Right.
But they're definitely keeping this. Like, I'm sure they're probably going to do a collected trade of just this story something like that. And so people can kind of read it.
For me, it's like watching X-Files.
No, it's not.
For me, it's like watching a big television show that has an overarching story but has episodes in between it, and we finally get
these monster piece. Aliens episodes.
Right. Well, these are but that's what he's saying is that these are alien episodes.
Right. Well, you know, like how they usually do, like Batman's.
So you're basically
flip
saying you don't have to read any other DC book until these come back out again.
You don't. Well, for me, I like.
I'm just saying.
Well, here's the thing: if you only care about the Watchmen storyline, there's five books you need to pick up.
Right.
Rebirth and these four.
Correct.
If you want to know
or you
more,
could just read Watchmen.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I mean, in this new incarnation, I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, because
they're doing this like a TV. I get what you're saying, and I can't, in recent memory, understand or remember them doing a story quite like this. Since I'm a very casual DC and very minimal Marvel reader personally, this kind of stuff for me, it's cool. To kind of catch it when I catch it, but it's not necessary for me.
Right.
For you guys, anybody who's reading DC and really enjoys DC, yeah, you should probably read this.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty detrimental to your universe and what you like in your characters. Yeah, you probably need to read this.
Yes. For me,
myself, I can read all this after the 5 years or whenever the hell it's all going to be done.
Right, yeah.
I could read it all then and be satisfied with that. I could actually wait, not read any of this, and read it at a later date. But I'm not you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are the fans. You guys are the ones that are, you know, this is what you crave. This this is written, tailor-made for you guys. It's not written for me.
But it's also,
necessarily.
Yeah,
like but I can saying, appreciate it as a good story.
Right.
At the same time. I can appreciate books, because it's pretty well known between us that I'm not a Batman fan.
Right.
At all.
Right.
I think Batman is a complete and utter sociopath, and I don't understand why people like him as much as they do, but they do.
Right.
But there are really good Batman stories.
Right.
And I have no problem enjoying them and reading them. There's some Batman stories I really, really like. But,
totally.
But as overall, do I have to read or collect and hunt down and find every single Batman story to enjoy those? No, I don't.
Right.
So, this being put out the way it's being put out, it is definitely, like, DC is very, very, they're very, very concerned about the fans that they've had that are, like, the true DC fans that really like a lot of different DC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make those fans happy. And the way they do that is they do books like this.
Right.
And they do books, like, they tried an experiment with 52, and it worked for a while.
Yeah.
And then when it started to kind of vary and go off in all these spiraling weird directions, they said, okay, look, we're not making our fans happy.
Yep.
We get that.
Right.
So we're gonna realign everything, and we're going to start on this path. This is a good starting point that we think we can start on. Okay, well, we can build from here.
Right.
And the story might not take place all at once, and it might take place in little bits and pieces here and there, but the story will take place, and it will be cohesive enough that, especially if you're a DC fan and you've been reading DC for any amount of time, you will enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
It will make you a fan or a stronger fan. It will make you happy.
Yeah.
Or when you pick up every single DC book and you read it.
Yeah, when you have some serious psychological problems and you read every single DC book like Zach here does.
Right.
Stress on psychological problems. you will really enjoy this because it touches on everything that you like to read.
Right.
They're definitely taking the time to make sure that in these stories they have hit all the key points for anybody who's been following in the wide berth of DC.
Right. Well, and like I was saying,
and me being the casual DC fan, I understand what they're doing.
Right.
Like I said, I totally get it. I just, it's not necessarily for me.
No, and but I will say that
I do enjoy it just fine.
As a comic book fan, I like it because of the heat that comes off of these comics. We can't keep these for a 24-hour day.
Fire?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I get you, but you're talking about the So whether you enjoy it, you know, love it, you think it's your thing, these comics definitely have an energy.
Correct.
To them. That is not just...
No, they get talked about. The word gets spread more. People are interested to see what's going on. The lenticular covers definitely help sell these books because they're done really well this time.
Yeah.
But even on top of that, because the lenticulars, because it's wrapped in with Watchmen, because it's got... The Flash fans are just as fevered as the Batman fans are.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more Batman fans. There's a wreck ton of Batman fans. But the Flash fans that are hardcore, they are just as hardcore as the Batman fans.
Oh, yeah.
So you have all these different aspects and all these different fans coming out of the woodwork going, yeah, this is what I like.
And in a mainstream comic, that's nice to see. You know, because I can pull that off of, like, Seven to Eternity. That heat.
Yeah, see, a book like Seven to Eternity to me is... I love that book because it's a completely fresh take on... a fantasy story, and to me it came out of the blue and it knocked my socks off.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff I like to read.
Right. But I like having that energy, especially because I've read a bit of Batman.
Yeah, but you get excited with your bat kites off the treadmill stuff.
I mean, hell yes, I do.
You're like, this is the best thing, and I look at that and I'm like, that's just silly.
It's just but whatever. You don't see that, but that's not.
But it's two opposing viewpoints.
But
you're like such a hardcore Batman fan that you see something like that and you get giddy.
So good.
Necessarily, I'm just like, yeah, okay, he's got to hook himself in for the ride because. He's going to fly off into oblivion if he doesn't. I get it.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, it's a bad guy. It's so beautiful. And I just don't see it the same way as you do.
And Capullo's purple cape now making it look all... it's so good.
Yeah.
But my point being is that watching other people finally jump in to that Batman love and really care about Batman when most of the time they don't, you know, it feels good.
I don't know. There's tons of people.
There are tons of people.
You can never say that.
Yeah.
It would be different if this was based in Superman and a bunch of people jumped on a Superman story.
Right. Which could happen in November.
The weirdest thing...
said that it was Superman centric, I went,
The weirdest thing about that, about that type is that Superman is the first superhero, been around longer than all the other superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
He is what started this entire thing. And the weird dynamic shift that I've seen of fandom go from, you know, Superman's the guy to, well, he's just a Boy Scout and his stories are stupid and boring and that idea.
Yeah.
That to me, you're a weak fan. If that's seriously what you think, I will call you out. And I'm not even a Superman fan.
Right.
Which is
brutal, yeah.
But, I will straight up call you out and explain to you, to your face, why Superman is completely relevant and why you are misinformed and very impoverished on your viewpoint.
I would do the same, yeah.
Well, but
people just jump on the Batman bandwagon and go, Batman's Batman. Why would you want to be Batman's the best? No, give me reasons why.
We've already discussed Batman bros in this podcast.
And I don't they're taking a turn from this to the dichotomy between Superman and Batman,
but the reason why I even brought that up is because what we're talking about, the next story arc, the Doomsday Clock coming in, if it's going to be Superman centric and you get a bunch of fanboys, that's going to be a much bigger thing. You get a bunch of fanboys to jump on the Superman bandwagon and go, holy crap, this was really cool. That will impress me.
Yeah.
I can go outside and throw a rock in a crowd and probably hit a bunch of Batman fans.
Easily, yes.
Am I going to throw the rock in the same crowd and hit a bunch of Superman fans? Probably not.
No, he's the guy wearing the Superman hat going, I'm over here.
Well, no, even the guy wearing the Superman hat just said, somebody gave this to me as a gift.
Yeah, that's true.
Which blows me away. I don't get it. So, yeah, this... For Batman fans, if you're a Batman fan and you didn't like this, then I don't even understand who you are.
Right. That's a good point.
I don't understand where you're coming from.
Right.
You'd have to really sit down and we'd have to have a psychological discussion of why do you even think you like
where
Batman.
Where your Batman's at.
So same with Flash fans.
Right.
So I get it. I get why it's good and I get why you guys loved it.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
So real quick, let's break down the future of this.
Yes.
And what we think about Doomsday Clock.
Hopefully I didn't derail your conversation too bad.
You didn't. No.
No, but... That's exactly the Doomsday Clock, again, Superman centric. It's going to be the Watchmen characters. It's going to be. Geoff Johns has come out and said that it's not going to be Superman and other DC heroes versus Watchmen characters. It's not going to be in this issue. Watch Dr. Manhattan Superman.
I don't understand why you would think he would do that anyway.
A lot of people think that they.
Of what
they
he are. Did with this book? No, they're touching on the sidelines of everything.
Sure. And he said that when Superman and Dr. Manhattan meet and have their battle. He's already said that's going to happen. It's not going to be a battle that you're going to expect. So my guess, my speculation, if we're doing speculation here...
Technically, Dr. Manhattan could just atomize Superman if you...
Well, really I think what they're going to do is that they're going to have a... I think they're going to have another scene like in Watchmen when they're going to have a discussion and Manhattan's going to go... who cares? Who cares about all this stuff? And Superman's going. It's going to
be a chess match of emotions.
Yes, it's going to be a. It's going to be. It's going to be a soulful thing of look through.
I'm curious how many DC fans are not going to understand that.
Probably. So
I don't want to talk about that.
For that kind of thing, that is that a really, is super really, really meta, weighty, yeah. weighty.
It is
thing. It's it, not. It I don't really call is it meta. No.
No.
Have you ever seen the movie The Seventh Seal?
No.
The entire movie, it's a long movie. It's a right. old black and white movie. The entire movie is a gentleman in death basically talking to each other about why he has to die.
Okay.
And it's a long movie. And the entire thing is a soulful discussion and look on humanity and everything. And right. why do I have to die? Why do you have to take me? Can I right. talk my way out of it?
Right.
So that type of weight and that type of discussion... If that's the way this
that's,
is going to go,
that's my speculation.
There's going to be a lot of people
just like in Watchmen. Just like in Watchmen, so. Right?
Yeah.
In Watchmen, remember spoilers for Watchmen. I guess if you haven't read it, the thing that
like who the hell is this Dr.
Manhattan?
We
already did the spoilers.
No, you say whatever
you want.
The part in Watchmen when Dr. Manhattan has the realization that two people who hated each other and who scientifically should never have come together created life.
Right.
And the life that they made was a beautiful life and somebody perfect. Right. That made him go, humanity in the world is crazy and different and there's purpose there. I'm going to guess, because I've read many Geoff Johns comics and I love him, that he's going to echo that again.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know either. What it is. But Superman will go, blah, and Dr. Manhattan will go... Hope and optimism is worth it. And then, boom.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like emotional, philosophical. It's not going to be, I'm going to punch Dr. Manhattan in the face 80 times. That's
you never know, because they might do that whole
they could.
Opening sequence with Batman 21 and they I could. Just need a minute. That kind of stuff. Yeah. So.
That was great. Oh, but anyway,
that was good.
So,
hey,
so,
I did like that. Yeah. I will say so, that. I was like, that's pretty good.
So yeah. I think that's what he's going to, you know, Geoff Johns says he's going to treat the Watchmen universe with respect. And I think he's going to try and tell a story
eventually
with...
At some point, Alan Moore is going to come out and be like...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He doesn't even know. He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't even know what's going on.
No, somebody's going to drag it out of him.
Probably.
He's going to pull him out. He's going to have a bird in his beard.
Yeah, but Alan Moore also
said
that...
He's going to mentally learn how to shoot barbs out of his beard at people point.
Alan Moore also said that Geoff Johns stealing... he said he stole Blackest Night from him and that the entire storyline was his idea and... You know, Geoff Johns should have just paid him or whatever. I'm like, okay. He took a 8-page story and expanded upon it, like most comic book people do. But anyway, let's like get in
you
there.
And like Alan Moore did with the Charlton characters.
Yep, exactly. Right. So,
oh yeah, we're not supposed to.
I think Doomsday Clock is going to be a mixture of. It's not going to be just be a. It's not just going to be a big full blown crossover. It's only going to be 4 issues. He said there's no tie-ins. There's nothing.
Right.
4 issues. That's it.
Yeah,
and I think that
that is definitely the genius behind these runs is that they're just small runs.
Small runs, yeah. Exactly. And I think that they're not going to be a huge, big crossover where it's going to be Batman and Superman versus Rorschach and Dr. Manhattan.
Secret Empire.
I think it's going to be a mixture of the philosophical weightiness of Watchmen.
Yeah.
And the superhero crossover.
Right.
I think that. Geoff Johns is going to take Watchmen and this story arc of the Watchmen or Dr. Manhattan being part of it and talking about the philosophical questions, because Watchmen was the philosophical questions of that universe.
Yeah.
What's it mean to be a good guy, a bad guy, a sane person, a not a sane person? I think he's going to do that. What does it mean for hope in the DC universe? What is good in the DC universe? Using that. So it's going to be a mixture. It's not going to be one
the wholesomeness of the 50s versus the bitterness of the 80s.
Yes.
Smash Titans.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
wouldn't that be the 40s?
40, sure.
Well, no, yeah. The optimism of the DC Universe versus that trend that happened there with Dark Knight Returns, Watchmen, the 90s, 80s, the whole comic book industry turned to that deconstruction and cynicism.
Cynicism.
Yes, and he's going to talk about both of those.
Self-importance.
Because a long time people have said, I want a more cynical Batman, Superman, whatever. And they did that, and it didn't really work. But they want to talk about
that. It's only because they gave Superman a mullet.
No, the mullet was cool.
No, the mullet was never cool.
No, that's the 90s.
Superman and mullet Superman were never
cool. Mullet Superman.
Mullet Superman.
He's fine. But,
all right. Well, that is our depiction of the button.
Yes.
We will hit you back up in November. I promise the next podcast we'll just...
You're going to talk about this again?
It's true. Well, we will talk about something not DC next week.
Yeah. But you're right. When Doomsday Clock comes out,
yes.
There's no way we're not going to be not talking about that. Hey, we switch it up. And there are sometimes we do DC-centric stuff, so...
You know what? Next week, Secret Empire.
Jesus.
That's right. We got to read Secret Empire up to now.
There's no we. I'll be absent for that podcast.
All right. Anyway.
There's a line right there.
Thank you for listening, and until next time...
We love you.
No,
we will see you.
Oh, I like you. I like you.
We'll see you on the flippity flop.
Suddenly, over in the corner of